Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast. It's for September 7th. It's brought to you by One World Sports. I'm John Gibson, and playing hurt tonight with me is Jim Allen. How you feeling, buddy? I hope you're feeling better.
Yeah, I'm on the DL for a few hours.
DL for a few hours. I like that. Sounds like a good night's sleep would do you well.
I hope so. I hope so, since I'm going to New York on Tuesday.
New York. Yeah, that'll make you feel better. That's good, clean, fresh air right there.
That's right.
Well, we appreciate you toughing it out tonight. Let's make it a quick show then.
Okie dokie.
All right, on this week's show, we've got an interview with Mitch Lively of the Nippon Ham Fighters, and we're going to talk about the race for third place in the PL and a whole lot more. So let's start swinging.
Rearing the bases!
Okay, well, on Tuesday, I was out, kind of surprised to be out at Tokyo Dome, but I was there. And, you know, good time to go. So I hopped out there before the game, before I ran back to the office to do a desk shift, and ran into Brandon Laird and Mitch Lively, who I'd never met. And so he's a very pleasant fella. And we had a nice conversation. And, you know, I thought this will be good. So anyway, Mitch Lively came here all of a sudden, which you'll hear his story, which was kind of interesting. And usually when guys come to Japan, it's like, oh, you know, my agent and I have been talking about it for 3 or 4 years, and it just never seemed to happen. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, a call came. Right. And it was he. And then finally it happened like a month later, and then a stop in Guam to get up a visa. And man, I think they FedExed him. So basically, before he knew there was baseball in Japan, he was on a plane coming to Japan. So anyway, we talked about that, and we talked about the teams he played for in the States, and his, you know, I love his use of language. He should be a writer. Mm. Whenever, you know, the pitching Jones, he doesn't got it. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, in the time he's waiting to be Carlos Mirabal. We're following you, buddy.
Yeah.
So anyway, so let's have a listen to Mitch Lively.
Okay, our guest this week on the Japan Baseball Weekly podcast is Mitch Lively of the Nippon Ham Fighters. Thanks for joining us this week.
Thank you for having me.
So how's the transition going?
You know, it took me a while. When I first got over here, you know, I only threw one time and then was thrown into the big league games. And then the game's different, you know, warming up in the dungeon. But, you know, after I went down to the minor leagues, it was, you know, getting the routine of playing over here. And it's a lot easier transition now that I'm back up here.
What was some of the things that struck you about, you know, some of the differences that, because it was only a month. I mean, you didn't have time to call everybody and do the research.
Yeah, just, I mean, the hardest thing for me is just the longer days.
Uh-huh.
You know, getting here, the stretch, the BP, the infield every day, and then the not warming up in a bullpen, being able to watch the game, watching it on TV in the bunker.
The bunker.
The bomb bunker.
The Fuhrer bunker.
Yeah, so that's what's weird is, you know, getting that mentality, hey, you got to be ready to go into a game, no crowd, no adrenaline, then coming out here and just running into this, you know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that was probably the hardest thing for me.
And how about the environment? Because it's a little different from probably, where were you? Well, first of all, you came from AAA?
Yeah, Syracuse.
Okay.
Yeah, with the Washington Nationals. So,
okay.
I mean, coming from that and then coming into this situation, which is.
How long were you with the Nationals?
A season and a half.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was with the Giants for 7 years and the Rockies for a year.
I'm from the Bay Area.
Oh, yeah? What part?
Redwood City.
Oh, my wife's from Belmont.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Did she go to Carlmont High School?
She went to Carlmont, and then she went to Notre Dame junior year. I can't say it.
I know Notre Dame. Notre Dame Catholic spirits all the time.
Yep. So, she's from the Bay Area. I got a lot of friends from Redwood City.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
How'd that work with the Giants?
It worked out good. I had all my friends and everything are from the Bay Area. So,
It's funny because when Casey McGee was here with Rock 10 2 years ago, mm-hmm. he's like going, you know, I kind of wanted to play in a Bay Area team, but he had mixed emotions about it because it's home and he'd never played at home.
Yeah, and everyone's going to want tickets every day.
And then he got there and it was like, I haven't spoken to him since then, but it was like a little bit of overload, maybe.
Yeah. Well, because everyone's probably always calling you, hey, can I come to the game? Can I get tickets? And you don't want to tell people no, but you're paying for him.
And his family's from the South, and he's been living in the South.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're in Japan, and I guess the routine and the bullpen. How about the batters? The kind of swings they take is quite different, maybe.
It's hard to get your outs here. I mean, the hitters are just very very disciplined, and it fell off a lot of pitches. So that was probably my hardest thing, you know, was adapting to the hitters here. They're trying to foul stuff off to get those pitches, you know. And they have a really good eye. They're not a lot of free swingers here. Like in the States, you'll get a guy, you know, hey, I can get him to, I can bounce the slider or split, and then they're going to swing. Here, they're pretty disciplined.
Okay, what are the pitches that you throw?
I throw a fastball, slider, split.
Oh, okay. Split seems like it's kind of a dying art in America, but I see guys throw it now.
Then. Yeah, I mean, it's a popular pitch over here. Their fork,
pretty much.
I've been trying to pick some of the guys like Masui and talk to him about the way he throws his, because he has a really good one.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just trying to pick guys, because you have to make adjustments over here, especially with the, you know, the good hitters and everything. So.
Sure, and everything's, the ball's a little different, so
yeah.
Probably your breaking ball loves the ball here.
Yeah, my slider's been a little bit better than it normally is, but it's just, you know, like anything, you just got to get in there and get situations to adapt to it. So.
Okay, now let me ask, how was that realization that these batters are different? Because I've seen guys come here in the first at bat in the big league game, it's 16 pitches before you miss down the middle and the guy triples it off the center field wall.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what I was talking about. You're just throwing a lot of pitches to a lot of guys, you know. You don't get very many first pitch outs because they're so disciplined. They're fouling stuff off or they're looking for a certain pitch, and they take, I mean, those borderline pitches where you might get a guy a swing at, they're taking it, and it's a ball. And then you have to, like you said, you have to throw that 3-2 fastball in there, and they're good hitters.
Yeah, so did you have one of those, a couple of those? What point you said, did you want to step off the mound and say, you know?
I had one of those against the Eagles one of those days. It didn't matter what I threw, it was getting hammered. So we have those days, but you just have to get back on the horse the next day, and it never happened. And
I know some pitchers I know a couple of the pitchers here, they want to get off the rubber and say, look, swing at the pitch, none of this fouling off stuff.
Yeah.
But you're not trying to foul it off, give them a lesson.
Yeah, I wish, but I mean, they got a job to do too, and it's just, you know, sometimes they're better than you that day, but you get them again.
Okay, so it's a little different game, a little different kind of competition,
but
in the end, still the same thing you're prepared for.
Oh, yeah.
So how has the adjustment been? What have you been working on using pitches a little different way?
No, you know, the most difficult thing for me has just been the stop. I've gotten 4 bot calls on me down here. It's just the pausing here, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I pause for about a second. In the States, that's good. Here, it's then you got
3
two.
Seconds.
Yeah, so... I got 4.
Okay.
Yeah. So and I, that was one of the things I really worked on in the minor leagues, was the bop, was holding, and I thought I did good, and then I got called up and they called me on it. So I just, something I keep working on, and then with all the runners, I mean, they steal, everyone here can run.
Sure.
So really working on the slide step, holding runners close to the bag.
Yeah, that's always been a big one, especially with foreign pitchers. Check the slide step.
Mm-hmm.
Check how long they hold it. And just get used to the fact that these guys are going to take huge leads.
Yeah, exactly. So you just got to keep them close, honest with picking over, slide stepping, mixing up your holds and your looks. So, I mean, if you can do that, you know, keep them on first, you got yourself a double play situation.
You're playing for kind of an interesting team, fairly young.
Yeah.
Fairly athletic.
We got a very athletic team. I mean, we've got the speed, we've got guys that can drive them in. I mean, it's been fun baseball over here, especially with this team.
Yeah, kind of like speed and more speed.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we got fast guys getting on base, stealing bags, and then guys hitting, you know, singles, knocking them in, hitting doubles.
Sure.
So, yeah.
And it's great for that park.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, let me ask you this. First time you came out of the bullpen at Sapporo Dome into a game, what was that atmosphere like?
That was awesome. I mean, I think it was... We were winning by a little bit, and I actually got to finish the game, so it was a really good atmosphere. I mean, just, it felt like there was probably about 40,000 people there, and it was just, I kind of just stepped off the mound and soaked it all up real fast, and then said, okay, let's get to work.
Now, a lot of the players that come from the minor leagues, they come here, and, you know, at first it's like, you know, it's Japan, it's not the majors, but then they get in the game, and the feeling is...
Exactly, it's the exact same. That's how I felt, you know, I got over here, and, you know... I was like, oh, and then I got out on the field. I'm like, this is the majors. So, you know, once you're there, you realize what it is, and we're here to win, and we want to win a championship.
Okay. It's been a great pleasure, and hopefully we'll have you on the show next year when you're back.
Hopefully. Hopefully I can throw well and come back.
All right.
Thank
great.
You.
Okay. It's a pleasure meeting you. Okay.
Nice
good
you.
Luck.
Thank you.
Well, thank you again, Mitch. It was a real pleasure. I didn't expect to see you. You know, it's funny, you don't know guys who come in the middle of the season. Mm-hmm. They're big, they're small, they're round, they're thin. He's a big square guy.
Mm-hmm.
powerfully built, wears number 55, which is always noticeable in Japan. And, you know, he just, you know, let's talk. And it was a lot of fun. Now, what did you get out of Mr. Liveway?
Well, this time I don't have to say I can't wait to meet you, or I'm looking forward to meeting you, because I did get to talk to him actually right when he got off the boat, per se. So to speak.
Oh, you were working at the customs, at the passport control, were you?
I mean, right when he got onto the field for the first time, I think early on in his stay here at Sabre Dome, I think I got to meet him and was chatting with him for a little while. So I've already talked to him, and I told him about the show and you know, asked him about being on and all that stuff. So he probably had some idea that we were going to do this at some point. But
yeah, he actually wanted to sign up for it.
Yeah, so you know, I haven't seen him pitch much, maybe just a few times, but two big things that stood out to me, at least they drew my attention, and some other things were interesting too, but the dungeons and bomb bunkers.
Comments.
Well, yeah, he said, at first he said bunker, and then he said bomb bunker, and I'm like, whoa.
That's all right.
But I found that fascinating, specifically because I've never really thought about that much, that bunker type.
You're so used to it.
We are so adapted already, you know, having seen it. Of course, you know, I went to Nagoya Stadium a long time ago when I first were starting to go to Japanese baseball games. But then it was Nagoya Dome late in the 90s. So I'm used to seeing guys look up on the bench, the guys on the bench, the managers and the other players looking up at a monitor.
Yeah, looking to see their teammates on a monitor. Yeah,
make sure that the guys they want throwing are throwing, and they can see it, you know, and they can see how they're throwing. So, I'm so used to it. So I didn't really think about that aspect of getting into the game flow of like hearing the crowd, seeing what's going on, having the adrenaline and all that stuff. Because I just assume, okay, you're in this bunker of a bullpen. It really allows you to focus on what you're doing. Okay. You know, you can actually hear the spin on the ball, right, when you're throwing it, and you can hear it buzz as it goes to the catcher's mitt. And I just thought, well, that's good. You know, you can see if your ball's spinning the way you want, your breaking pitches are spinning the way you want. You can really focus. I just, you know, pardon the pun, but I know that it has to do with their livelihoods. But I thought at least they're not out in the field where some ball boy or ball girl could misplay a ball and it could hit him in the leg or hit him in the Kuroda hand or something like that when they're down the pitch or something when they're warming up. So I thought that was really something about, you know, just the aspect of it interfering with them getting into the flow. I really found that fascinating.
It was interesting. I'm really dying to talk to Tony about that, because he's one of the, you know, the Swallows are the team that has him on the field. A few teams, Chiba and Yokohama, they're next to the field,
right next to the field.
I take that back. Sabre Dome, they're next to the field. They're separated by a fence, which is fine. Mm-hmm. I take that back. So that's two. But some of these are really quiet. I've heard some of the best stories about the guys, about when players were talking about how long it took to get into the game for some guys. You know, they get called to the bullpen and first, they got to get their cell phone and call their mom and call their girlfriend or wife and, you know, and, hey, look at me, I'm going to be on TV. And then they got to change shirts and it's like.
Well, Yokohama, you know, they can do that in the car while they're riding out.
Sure. Sure. So anyway, that was Hector Almonte told me that. So told Wayne Brassick and I, to be precise.
Right.
Yeah. So really, I do want to talk to those guys, you know, who pitch in those situations, and, you know, and the guys who pitch in the domes, and see what they, you know, they think about, you know, the different character of the bullpens, because that never really occurred to me before.
Me either. And then the second thing was, and let me preface this by saying, I don't think he was at all saying that it's easier to get hitters out in the States, but that is just a different approach, and he was emphasizing that, but. That being said, it sounds like he's highly complimentary of the Japanese players, saying they're very disciplined and guys just trying to foul off pitches and them being hard to strike out, and that there are no free swingers. That aspect, of course, we had a question about that earlier this year. I think it was Glenn in Tokyo who sent the question in, who said, please ask the starting pitchers and the other pitchers about it. But the no free swingers aspect, you know, he said he could bounce a slider up there and get guys to swing at pitches out of the zone, and that in Japan, that's not the way it is. And, you know, I took it to mean that these guys in Japan are going to, they're going to look at the ball carefully. They're going to make you throw it in the zone. And obviously what he said is, I can't get guys out of the zone. So I had to change my approach. And that's, you know, that's a big, I mean, obviously he, what has he thrown in only 9 games so far as, right. as the numbers that I've seen so far. And he hasn't had it. He doesn't have a good ERA. His ERA is over nine, but he has, you know, some strikeouts. Yeah, he's got 11 strikeouts in those nine, almost 10 innings, 9 2/3 innings. So he's getting the strikeouts.
Right.
But he's given up a lot of hits, too. So, obviously, he's throwing the ball in the zone a lot. He's trying to make guys swing. So, that was interesting.
I think it's a case of, yeah, not that they're easier to get out in the States, but what worked for you doesn't work the same here. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I remember the comment on Twitter by Yankee source, this guy who, you know, follows the Yankees intensively. And he said, oh, Kuroda's going to carve up NPB batters. Well, you know, that's the problem, is that he, you know, you just can't make that assumption. He's going from a league where he's spent, you know, 7 years getting used to guys you can get out of the zone more often, to a league where it's very difficult and where they can foul pitches. They're trying to foul pitches off.
Yeah.
It can be really, it can wear you down. And Randy Messenger said to me at some point during the season, I want to take these guys, smack them upside the head and say, look, buddy, you're here to hit, put the ball in play and not foul it off. Right. Do I have to explain it to you?
Right. Yeah.
So I can understand that part.
So those are the things that stuck out for me. I mean, there were some other things. He talked about the balk situation and how he, you know, he had practiced in the minors or on the farm team.
Right.
He came up to the first team, and of course immediately they call him for balks. And
right,
you know, you've talked about it on the show numerous times. We both discussed it with other pitchers, and I think what is your line that you like to say? 1 second is not 1 second here. It's 3 seconds is 1 second, or I forgot how you put it.
No, it's 3 seconds, period. And it in the States the rule is, in international ball the rule is, you pause your normal length. If it's 1 second, it's 1 second. If it's 3 seconds, it's 3 seconds. And I was watching the under-18 World Cup game today, and a Japanese...
I was watching that too. Woohoo, USA! Yeah. Woohoo! All right.
Yeah, he's going, oh, that's a balk. And the guy's going, nope, you're out. And he's looking at, wait, that was a balk. He's like, you know, you're not in Kansas anymore. You're not in Saitama anymore, Mr. Okoye.
Exactly. And so, yeah, it you know, there's so many little, I guess, minor details that... we don't really notice that much that can impact a pitcher, especially like he talked about the slide step even and having adjustments on the slide step.
I'm waiting for a pitcher to not talk about the slide step.
Well, on our show, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And how he's had to even adjust that. So he's got to hold it longer and make adjustments in so many phases that it's amazing that these guys can come over and make it to the first team right away and get guys out.
Right.
It just seems like they should struggle a little bit more to me. But
well, with the ball, the pitches change. As I mentioned, is breaking ball. The ball's tackier. It's easier to throw breaking balls. You know, sliders. As Mike Maddox, pitching coach of the Texas Rangers, told me last year, he said, look, you know, it's going to do great things with your spin pitches. But on the other hand, the pitches that, you know, you're trying to put top spin on, it's going to give them a different look. So it's two different things, because they'll slip out of your hand and they're not going to get so much friction. They're going to be less like change-ups and more like four-seam fastballs. So, you know, that takes some getting used to. I was thinking about this the other night on Wednesday when I was at Cebu Dome and watching something I've seen this year. And I should ask Dennis Sarfati about it, because he would know about the mound at Cebu Dome, because it seems like the new foreign pitchers really struggle to locate their pitches, because the thing is basically made out of loose sand.
Mm-hmm.
And if you watch a game at Cebu Dome, what you'll notice is that by about the second inning, you cannot see the pitching rubber. It's covered with dirt.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I kind of noticed that, but you really can't see it that well on TV.
Right. Correct. But what you won't see is the pitching rubber.
Yeah.
until they show an overhead view sometimes. But I know Luis Mendoza of the Fighters had trouble with it, and he was out there doing groundwork on the mound, and it looked like Rick Vandenkirk had trouble with it because he normally has fairly decent command, but I don't think he hit 10 locations the whole game. You know, if he was trying to go low and away, it's up and in, and, you know, he was kind of more or less around the strike zone by accident. So
my last point was that I also loved how he said he soaked it all in on that. He was at Sonoma on the mound. You know, I think it's just so cool. I love to enjoy our baseball moments, even when we are talking about things, when we are arguing about things, when we're agreeing or disagreeing about things. And then the games, you know.
We don't argue, Gibson.
I love the games. I just love them. And, you know, I like watching the guys on any team just working hard to try to win games. So I'm with you, Mitch. I mean, I just try to soak it all in every day. I love every day of the season.
I saw one of those foreign moments tonight when Zealous Wheeler was thinking, hey, they made the block in the plate illegal without the ball last year. And he's coming, and he's going, wait, I'm out? Wait, no, he blocked the plate. I said, so welcome to Japan, sorry.
They're setting up like a whole little shop there. And
They got their little supplies out there, their snacks.
Over, lemonade stands.
Sure. So, wait, the ball's coming. Don't be in a hurry. Okay.
All right, well, let's talk about the Fighters a few minutes now. You know, I'm looking at this PL race. Of course, we've talked about it, and it's basically been over since before the All-Star break for all intents and purposes. We already knew. So they're basically in the same position. Nobody's going to move up. Nobody's going to move down in the top two. So all they have to do is play out the string and you know, figure out a way to get past the third place team in the Climax Series without doing too much damage to their pitching staff.
Right.
So do it as quickly and as quietly as possible. And I'm looking at the Fighters, and I do like what I see, but I do have concerns. And last year, remember, they came out of third place. They gave the Buffaloes a really hard, nasty time, and they ended up beating them in the
stage.
And then I didn't really have a lot of expectations for them, and they pretty much gave the Hawks a tough time. They didn't get past them, obviously, but so I'm looking at them now, and I don't see them being able to make that same kind of run this year.
Well, it's a short, it's a short series, so who knows? You know, the real curious thing is what the Fighters and the Hawks are going to do once they clinch their final spots, you know, with 10, 15 games left. I was talking to Dennis Sarfati on Wednesday, and he's going, I'm going to need rest. Because he got a lot of rest last September because he didn't have save situations. Mm-hmm. So he was in the bullpen all the time. He might warm up now and then, but, this is what the baseball feels like, okay? Mm-hmm. But he's going to have to get some rest before the playoffs because it's a grind. You know, that's nine games perhaps before the start of the Japan series and another seven, like last time was five. Let's say it ain't going to be seven games this year.
Yeah, let's say.
Okay, let's say. So anyway, we're looking at maybe 4-8 more postseason games. So yeah, it's going to be kind of interesting. The Hawks have been pretty creative about giving their pitchers rest this year, which was quite interesting. I don't know if anybody will see that story I put out today. So who knows?
Yeah, but as for the Fighters, obviously the Hawks are going to win the league title at some point, and we're going to be looking around and we're going to be saying, okay, who's going to start for the Fighters in game one? And it's probably going to be Ohtani's going to start in game one. And then after that, I think most of their pitching is pretty
so they're going to keep Ohtani back from the first series so he can pitch against the Hawks.
Oh, heck no. Heck no.
You
start him. I think I'm looking Mendoza. Yes. And then what? What do you do? Do you put that rookie out there? Arihara?
Maybe.
No, maybe. What do you do? I mean, that's what I want to know.
How would I know? I mean,
I don't think they have the guns this year.
It's not clear. I think they do, but you got to be lucky and guess who's going to be good. And I think you're going to have to look and see who's been the best this year, and and go with them and and roll the dice. As long as you trust their stuff to a certain point and their ability to execute to a certain point, then yeah, you pick the best guys. But Hideki Kuriyama will do. Well, Hideki Kuriyama will say, well, the Hawks kind of hit this guy pretty well, so let's not use him. You know, he's matchup friendly. He loves matchups.
Yeah.
He loves his little icon. You know, he loves these little tiny data sample sizes and messed up his pitching rotation a number of times so he could look for advantages that weren't there.
Yeah, well, I mean, if they can win it in two, I can see. Let's see, Ohtani throws the first game, Mendoza throws the second game, and they start Yoshikawa in game one against the Hawks. That kind of makes sense to me.
Sure.
And you just save Arihara for, like, the back of the, you know, one more day.
Yeah, Arihara and Masaru Nakamura.
Nakamura, yeah. Yeah, I'm there. But, again, you have a quick trigger on those guys.
Sure.
And after that, I'm really concerned. I think they have the offense, though. They have the offense to score with the Hawks, especially in a playoff situation, because we've seen the Hawks through the years blow playoff situations when they're
scoring. Yeah, they've been about the worst Pacific League playoff team in history.
Yeah.
They're sort of like the Hanshin Tigers of the Pacific League in that respect.
When it comes to the postseason.
Yeah, when it comes to the playoff. They've done okay in the Japan series, pretty much.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting, and I expect to see Mitch Lively throwing at some point. I think he will throw. I like what he's doing. Like I said, I've only seen him a couple times. The first time, he did look confused and new, and the last time I saw him was the other day, last week sometime, and he looked a lot better. He actually put a bunch of base runners on base, but he got out of it, and he looked a lot better doing it. So
okay. Okay.
All right, let's talk about the Lions and the Marines and the race for third place. And there was a weekend series that started on Friday.
Yeah.
The Lions swept it. And, they really need
it. They swept it good.
Well, they had their first 10-inning, 2-1 game on Friday. Then they came back in game two and beat them up pretty good. And then on Sunday tonight, they won 9-3. Okay, the middle game was 6-0. So they whipped them pretty good in the series, but I think they really had to. And the reason is, and we'll talk about the games here in a second, but the reason is the Lions have played more games than anybody else in the Pacific League. And so they got to build up as much of a lead as they can before, they're going to have one late game. I think it's late in September they play the Lions, the Marines.
Well, yeah, you know, it gives them other people to play catch up if they can. So,
So they're going to be sitting around a lot at points in this month while the Marines go out on the field and have a chance to, you know, make up some ground. Now, the problem with that is to make up one game in the standings, they're going to have to win two when the Lions are not playing. And so that makes it hard, but
Basically right now they're four games, you know, they're four wins, you know, behind. So, you know, that'll bring them even. If they win four, they're even.
I think the Lions had to win this series and had to win the way they did. And they did. So on Friday, Ken Togami goes 7 strong innings. And Yutaro Osaki, he was the one who won it with a pinch hit in the 10th. And then Tomomi Takahashi, the guy whose life was out of his pitches there in August, came back to life and threw 2 innings and got the win for them. And it was good stuff. I guess we can call him their closer again, because I don't know.
Well, yeah, right now. Right. And Makita's back. Makita, who was the closer briefly, is now back in the starting rotation, we think.
Yeah. And then on Saturday, it was Yusei Kikuchi. He held to 6 hits and 2 walks with 4 Ks.
Yeah, he was pretty dominant.
Yeah, he was really good. He was really good. I mean, in the sense that he was as good as they needed him to be. I don't think he was great that night, but he did exactly what they needed, and that's enough. And then Ernesto Mejia.
They sure had trouble hitting his pitches. And,
yeah, they did.
And they went you know, I think part of that was poor adjustments by the Marines. I think they went out with a bad plan, and they kind of figured it out towards the end, and he struggled when they started laying off pitches. But wait, hold on. You guys are supposed to go with those ones out of the zone. What's up? Hold on. Game plan time.
right. And then Ernesto Mejia had his 5th 4-hit game since coming to Japan, and that included home run number 24, and he had another RBI hit, so that was good for him. And then on Sunday, the rookie Kona Takahashi puts in 5 quick innings, I think.
Yep.
And then the pen comes in and did well, and the Lions made it look relatively easy against the Marines. And Genji Sumitani, of all people, hits a 3-run homer. So, they, I mean.
Yeah, he had an RBI single on on Saturday. So it is. We've seen some miracles coming out of there. It's like, put me on the bench, will you?
Whoa, we're going biblical on people. Well, I mean, I think, you know, the thing that we didn't mention at the beginning was that Katsuya Kakunaka the other day, he squared up to bunt the other night and took a pitch off the hand, and he ended up with two broken fingers, and he's out, and they don't think he's going to be back for the rest of the season. And that was pretty big for them. And he's a really good hitter, and he's important in their lineup. And I think that first night they were kind of in shock, and then the second night their bats were in shock. Sunday here, they came back a little bit back to life, but they weren't able to win the game. So that's a problem for them going down the stretch. And I wrote something on the homepage about it, and one of our reporter friends, Mr. Miyawaki, came up and said, no, Imai is going to be back. Toshiaki Imai is going to be back next week.
Right.
They'll be all right. And I'm like, well, you know, they're different kind of hitters, you know, much different kind of hitters. So I'm not going to put stock in that. So, you know, I'm not going to say it's too bad for Lotte and that it's all over for them, because it's not. But I think they really have overachieved a lot of the season.
Oh, yeah.
And I just can't see them overcoming all of this. But I didn't see them finishing this high, so it's possible.
Okay.
All right, let's talk about, this was your topic. We will make a seamless transition into talking about the top rookies.
Sure.
In the CL, in the Central League, I think it's as easy as any year I can recall in the past 10.
Does that mean you have a short memory?
Yep, because I think Yasuaki Yamasaki of the DeNA Bay Stars had won it by the All-Star break.
Well, one should never be too quick with that, but yes. he did have a tough spot there at the All-Star break. So anyway, no, I think yes, he's gonna win. You know, the question is who's comparable to him, and the answer is not really anybody. Guys, you know, one thing I do really like is all the innings that Hayato Takagi has thrown for the Yomiuri Giants, but they're just not effective enough. You know, when you have his ERA, it's still, you know, bigger than Yamasaki's. And if Yamasaki's, you know, the kind of a benchmark for some saber, you know, stat heads, is that, you know, top relievers innings are up to about twice as valuable as starters. So no, he doesn't have it. So I like a couple of people. I like Shunta Wakamatsu of the Dragons, but here's the innings issue. He's only
the half season basically award.
Right. You know, well, you know, if he wins 5 or 6 games down the stretch, and if he goes 6-0 down the stretch, then maybe we talk about who he'll get a ton of first place votes. But I think, you know, being Japan, people have already made up their mind by the All-Star break.
Well, when somebody comes out and does what Yamasaki did, and then he hasn't had a bad second half, he just has come back to earth.
No.
And then he's possibly run out of gas, or some of the teams might have just gotten used to what he's throwing. He's just have to make an adjustment.
Maybe.
But he hands down, he won it by what he did in the first half and setting a rookie record.
I think so. I mean, of course, Hayato Takagi had it won in April. It didn't look like anybody was going to catch up with him. But, you know, things change. So we'll see.
I never thought that would last. And I said something about it, but I never
thought. You say things about lots of things.
You only hear half. All right, so in the Pacific League, who are we looking at?
Why that much?
Why that much? Just don't flatter yourself, Gibson. Nobody.
Well, first of all, let's talk about the hitter in the Pacific League.
You ready to go?
Pacific.
All right, let's talk about the hitter. The hitter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty much. That's Hiromi Oka. Now, he'd be a candidate. He'd be a candidate if there was nobody any good. And he's having one of those seasons that people win Rookie of the Year's awards as position players, but he is not in that boat. So we have to go to the pitchers. And with the pitchers, well, who do you like?
I had two hitters' names down.
Did you?
Really, I looked through the rookies in the Pacific League, and I really couldn't find anybody worthy of anything, okay?
Well, the thing is that they're not guys, playing.
I'm sorry?
They're not playing.
Yeah, a couple guys who had good starts. One was Masahiro Nishino of Oryx, and he was doing well when
he
got to play, but then he got hurt. He only played 57 games, but he was hitting over 300.
He was quite good, yes.
And then recently, a rookie named Yuya Oda of Oryx also has come on, and he has played well in about a handful of games, 20-plus games for him.
Right, which is like
hitting over 300.
Pretty much.
The rest of them are not worth a penny. So then I looked at pitchers, and I'm like, you know, I can't see Kyohei Arihara of the Fighters getting the award. I just can't see it. I mean, he has 8 wins, which is the same number as Yusei Kikuchi of the Lions. But, you know, who wants to go by wins alone? I mean, his ERA is over 4 or is closer to 4.5 than anything else. And then I looked and saw one reliever.
Okay, go ahead.
Akihiro Hakumura of the Fighters.
Yeah, he's my pick as well.
Ah, thank you. And he's pitched in 39 games, has a ERA just over 1.5, 9 holds, 58 strikeouts in about 47 innings pitched, 14 walks. I mean, if he can't get it with what he's done, and I think he has saved Kuriyama in a lot of situations. He just brings him in and he says, you know, I'll bring you in at any time, 6th inning, 7th inning, 8th inning.
Sure.
And I'll let you pitch to anybody. Just get him out. And he has been doing a good job. So I think he's the only guy I could see getting the Rookie of the Year award.
I have to agree with you. I mean, I made a little list here, and I had Akira Niho of the Hawks, had a bunch of wins. Hirokazu Shironita of Oryx, who's done well. But again, these guys have been sort of easing into the pressure situations, which is, I guess, you know, if some people would give credit to that and put Kona Takahashi ahead of them for that. But I think I like Hakumura. I mean, the Fighters have a long tradition of middle relievers winning Rookie of the Year, so why not stick with that?
Yeah, I thought about Takahashi, but again, a guy who basically has only pitched a half a season, I can't do it. Maybe somebody else can. I think he deserves to be in the conversation maybe a little bit, but maybe no votes. I mean,
he won't be a rookie next year. He passed that limit today.
Yeah, other than that, it's pretty much slim pickings, which is weird. You know, we usually have a little bit. I mean, there's some guy out of nowhere who helps a team get into the playoffs sometimes, and we didn't. I mean, Takagi looked like he was on that path for the Giants. Mm-hmm. We don't have that guy this year. We actually have a guy who's winning a bunch of games in Wakamatsu, but that team's going nowhere.
That doesn't bother me. Yeah, but again, I think you have to look at for them how they finish in meaningless games. You know, if he does something really bizarre, you know how the voters are. They like bizarre stuff. They like unique things. Unique things get a lot of, you know, there are people who look at Yosuke Kikuchi, and they say, wow, his defense is so good, he should be the MVP. And because his defense is so unique, you know, nobody's defense is as good, I don't think. So, well, he gets a lot of oomph votes. You know, nobody can compare with what he does on defense, so people will vote for him. So that's what Takahashi would need or Shunta Wakamatsu would need at this stage. I mean, Yamasaki already's got that.
True.
So it'll be hard for, and I think that's what the thing, you know, 34 saves and 54 games and what's his ERA, 2.06. Okay. Yeah. All right. Give it to him. And I think that's how it's going to play out.
Okay, and making a two-seam transition, let's talk about Matt Merton, and he reached 1,000 hits, and he has done that in 5-plus seasons in Japan. He got the hit the other night on Thursday in the first inning, and that was a 5-1 win over the Hiroshima Carp, and he smacked a single and got a runner home from third, and then he cleared the bases in the 8th inning with a double and had a 4-RBI game, so I'm sure that made it more memorable for him than anything else, is that they won the game and he had a hit late to seal it up. So in almost 6 years, he's had a really productive career out here, and he's almost hitting. I mean, you know, we talked about how his poor start, and they went out and signed the kid Perez and was going to bring him up from the independent league, and then all of a sudden Merton has been hitting, and he's got his average pretty close to 300, and looks like he's going to have one of those typical Matt Merton seasons here. So
he basically turned it around in the middle of June. I think he had his first home run on June 20th, and he had I think at that point the day before his on base percentage was like 290, and now it's close to 400. And since since then, so he just basically got over it.
Yeah.
And he's a big reason the Tigers are in first place, because for a variety of reasons, they've been such a weird team this year.
Yeah, they have been. But he's the fifth fastest to get to 1,000 hits, and took him 809 games. So I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, you know, this team has a really good shot to play to win the Central League. And if it does, again, I'm not sure that they're in any better position than anybody else in the Central League, but they would get to play those games at home, which is going to be a good situation in that respect. And then they can start out with their top pitchers. And I think, you know, the top three.
Maybe they'll be healthy this time.
Yeah, the big three of, I'm going to put Messenger first. I'm sorry. Messenger, Fujinami, and Nomi. I think that could get them into the Japan Series if they win the league, you know, win the pennant. But of course,
you don't see him winning two rounds of the playoffs as on the road.
Not with that rotation, no. I think it's going to be tough for anybody. I'm really giving a big advantage to the team that wins the pennant this year in the Central League.
Okay.
I think that's going to be huge. And so, you know, we've talked about, you know, you win three in a row, you go into first place. You lose three in a row, you go into third place. And I said this last week that I was ready to give up on the Carp, and every time I'm ready to give up on them, they win a few games and they keep close. But I'm starting to turn that. I'm starting to reach for the switch to turn that button off, because I'm just...
Yeah, I have to agree. I mean, I still like the talent, but you know, they're the opposite of the Hawks. You know, they had a team with tons of talent, tons of expectations, and they've gone in the toilet.
Yeah, they hit reverse in some respects. So, but anyway, congratulations to Matt Merton, and I really expect to see him do well in the playoffs this year. I expect that team to be in the playoffs, and I think he's going to.
That's a good bet.
All right, let's make a four-seam transition and talk about Dennis Sarfati. He stretched his MPB record of consecutive innings with at least one strikeout to 41, and he pitched today, and they actually won in extra innings in the 12th inning today on Sunday, a walk-off home run by Nobuhiro Matsuda, and it was a 5-3 win over the Eagles. And that,
yeah, great game. Entertaining game.
Yeah, that was a game that apparently clinched a playoff spot for them, for sure.
Yeah, it assured them finishing no worse than third.
As if they would lose, you know, 20 in a row to finish the season or something like that.
They'd be in third.
Right, yeah, anybody who sees that happening.
When I talked to Sarfati the other day, one of the interesting things was, you know, talking about the lead and, you know, all we got to do is avoid doing what we did last year. And I'm saying, look, the difference, you know, I didn't say this to him because I didn't have the numbers. But, you know, last year they entered September with a 1.5 game lead. And Oryx played 500. And then they lost it. So they just stopped playing well. This year they came into September with a 9.5 game lead.
Take that.
Yeah, and it's not quite the same thing.
Not
so.
I like that.
Not quite. So we'll see. And as I mentioned before, the rest is going to be interesting. A couple of the things he told me were quite illuminating. I'll throw the 25-cent word at y'all. And what was illuminating was how they're working the bullpen this year. Now, he said three times this year, Kudo said, "You're not pitching today. You're not pitching tomorrow." And he said, you know, I work 3 days in a row, or I work 4 days in a row. I'm good. And he said, Kudo will say, "Oh, yeah, I know you're good, but you're not pitching tomorrow."
Right. Good.
And with Akiyama, he went, "Oh, you're good? Oh, let's go." That was one thing. The other thing is they've put the stop on those guys doing bullpen warming up marathons, which used to be a Hawks tradition. Oh, and I believe
you talked about on the show before, where they throw in the bullpen and they get bonus points.
Well, they get, yeah, towards their season ending evaluation. If you threw three times in a game and you didn't get into the game, you still got evaluated like you were in the game doing something positive. So all the relievers made sure they got to warm up three times, and there was a guy counting them. So this year, when Masato Yoshi, the former New York Met, Montreal Expo, Colorado Rockies guy, is the bullpen pitching coach. And so when a guy gets up to start throwing, he says, "No, not you." So that was, yeah, exactly. And what he said was, they haven't had any surprise attacks in the bullpen. this year. And he said, Yoshii does a good job of telling the guy, of calling the dugout and finding out what's going on, who do you want in this situation, you know, or at least they've got a plan and they follow a plan. And, you know, for me, that's gold dust. Right. So what happened last year, he said several times, a guy had not warmed up. And the call came from the dugout, get out on the mound.
Huh?
Like Nagashima managing. So that happened. It hasn't happened this year. So I did mention what Atsushi Torita, the Hawks conditioning coach, told me a month or so ago about their very good physical conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
They're not seeing big swings in body fat percentage or BMI. Everybody's pretty much pretty constant. And Ryoti Igarashi told me, he said, everybody's in good shape. That being said, we still got to go and get it done in September.
Yeah.
You know, we don't win the games just by being healthy.
Well, Dennis looks sharp, and so does the rest of the team. And, you know, they won a tough game today, and I expect them to win some more down the stretch. So that'll be something to keep an eye on, obviously. And if they fade a little bit at the end, or if they have some complacency at the end or something, we'll see if that happens. But even if they do, it's pretty much set in stone who's going to be the first team and who's going to be the second team in that
stone. Get your engraving tool, man. Actually, today I wrote a story for Kyoto News, you know, about, you know, this is the Hawks' 19th league title, blah, 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 and just set it aside so that they can use it while I'm on vacation.
Okay. All right. And I'm sure they will. All right. Let's talk about the top performers of August, which we got right pretty much.
You got it right because of John. We got it right.
Okay. In the Central League, Shunta Wakamatsu, the starter for the Chunichi Dragons, he won
mm-hmm.
for the first time, and he's the rookie we talked about earlier. And then Tetsuto Yamada.
Right.
Kind of a shocker there, because you like to say whenever they hit 400, they usually get the award.
Yeah, anybody who leads the league in hitting with a 400 average is almost automatically the player of the month. But Soichiro Tateoka of the Giants, talked about, he's not a really accomplished fielder, but he can sure hit. I think the Ichiro might be useful for him, because he's a hitter for sure. He's good at making contact and he's got great plate coverage. Anyway, so he didn't win with a 400 average, and they gave it to a guy who hit 310. But, and here's the kicker, he did something unique.
Which was?
He hit four home runs in a row. And, you know, and oh, that's big. You know, what, the guy, you know, the guy's a felon? Ah, don't worry about it. He hit four home runs in a row.
Hashtag high heat.
Yeah, you know, he can't hit? Can't play defense? Ah, who cares? Give him the monthly MVP and throw him in jail later. You know, whatever.
Come on. Well, he did today steal base number 30, so he's got part two of his triple three.
The triple three, which is actually the 0-3, in that it's a .300 batting average for the season, 30 home runs and 30 stolen bases. So I don't, you know, but
they all start with three.
There are three numeral threes in there. So
yeah,
okay,
that's what they mean, yeah. It has to be, even though it's English, it has to be translated or interpreted into English. Real English.
The interesting thing is he's going to lead the league. He's going to lead the Central League in runs over Takashi Toritani, which is really an achievement. He's going to pass Toritani by like 25 runs.
Yeah,
it's just amazing. I mean, I think the only thing he's not really a threat to lead in is triples. Although, you know, that could change in 2 days. But Jingu's tough for that. Triples and sacrifices and sacrifice flies and walks. He's not going to lead in walks. But basically everything else, this guy could run the table.
All right. So in the Pacific League, it was Yuki Yanagita of the Hawks. And then Kona Takahashi, which was kind of a surprise as the pitcher.
It was a surprise for me because I don't know how to use my database all the time. I was having a bad day. And I searched for... If any of you read my website, might notice a note when I omitted him from my story about potential winners. Because when I was searching for pitchers, I was looking for guys. I messed up my database search criteria. So I was looking for pitchers who won three games and didn't lose.
Mm-hmm.
So I missed him because he had lost a game. Right. So there.
So he gets it. He's the youngest since Daisuke Matsuzaka to win it as a pitcher right out of high school. So that was pretty impressive. So I said I really liked that draft pick for them. I think this kid was I liked him coming out of high school. He was a strikeout artist on the mound in high school, and you know he didn't pitch a great game today on Sunday, but he made some good pitches when he needed to in some big situations. And
yeah, he didn't look like a big, you know, he went 4-4 in the Eastern League with a kind of so-so ERA. He didn't look like, you know, the second coming of Nolan Ryan or anything, but they brought him up at the beginning of August, and he pitched five games in August and went 4-1 with a 4.5 ERA. He got beat up a couple of times.
Yeah, and his first game, when you go back to that first game,
that was the game he lost. Yeah,
which we saw some stuff on Twitter, at least I did, and about how he shouldn't be starting against a good team. I'm like, hey, look, you know, it doesn't matter what they do; it matters what you do. So you can be good, and they can be good, and just have to see who's going to win. I mean, you know, it's the first game, so what? You have to face him at some point. So
next thing you'll be saying, opening day. So what? Don't we know all opening day tells who's going to win the pennant?
But I remember against SoftBank, he didn't really get out of the. I think he went 3+ innings. He didn't get out of the fourth inning. Gave up 4 runs, but they didn't help him. You know, the defense behind him, they committed an error. And
yeah, they said, wow, he looks pretty good. Maybe we'll do to him what we've been doing to Yusei Kikuchi all year and just not score for him.
Hashtag high heat.
Yeah, he's fine. Plus, they're young. They always bounce back.
Mm.
All right, let's go to fielding questions. The question comes from Stuart Miller. It's a high heat question via Twitter. Thank you very much, Stuart.
Thanks, Stuart.
He says, if the Carp do not make the playoffs, is Koichi Ogata, the manager, asked to resign?
Yeah, that's a good question. Maybe he doesn't like the job at all anyway. He might quit.
Let's say he doesn't quit.
Then I would say no. They'll probably give another year to figure out what the problem is. But I think the problem is he lacks fundamental confidence in his minor leaguers. You know, at the beginning of the season, he had most of his regulars were not hitting. And what he did, I'll stick with them. They're good players. If he had been Tatsunori Hara, he would have said, you hitting 210 and looking away from me when I talk to you. Go over to the minor league team in Iwakuni and get your butt in gear, and I'm going to take somebody else off the minor league team who's proven he can hit. But he hasn't done that. And another thing that our Carp beat writer, Mr. Okada, told me, Kyoto's Carp beat writer, said, he's not a fan of home run hitters. Yeah, and the Carp were good last year because they led the Central League in home runs. That was the offense. You know, he likes players who are good base stealers, good defenders, but he likes good fielders and defenders, but the Carp defense has been terrible this year. You know, it went from being as the best in the league to, you know, that they're just in the middle of nowhere. You know, Ishii Takuro, the infield fielding coach, is kind of shaking their head saying, you know, their guys are trying. Well, and that's what we're getting with the Carp. The guys are trying. They're helping. So I think, is he going to get fired? I'm sorry. Is he going to get fired? I have no idea. But I'd like to see him fired. What I would like to do is see him figure everything out and come into the next season with a new look and a new plan, because the one he went into this year didn't work.
Well, I was going to say Brad Eldred led the Central League in home runs last year, so I didn't think it was so much the Carp by themselves who did it, because I think he contributed so much.
But this
year, it's more legitimate. This year, they have 92 home runs through Sunday's games, and the only team with more is DeNA, and we know that's park-related in some respects. And then Yakult, they have 91, and that's park-related a little bit. So they still have hit a lot of home runs, so I don't know what his problem is. But the thing that I don't like about him is there are little details in the games and little points in the game and areas that he doesn't maybe make a move when he probably should, yep, probably could. And he just sits back and lets, you know, the status quo go. And it cost them a game the other night at Jingu when they probably should have run for Matsuyama, who's a sludgy kind of a built guy in the first place. And had they put somebody with some, you know, with wheels on third base, they probably would have had a sacrifice fly. But Matsuyama just, you know, he faked, and he had no chance of scoring. And it's just little things like that where he doesn't, you know, he doesn't take advantage of the situation, or he doesn't think it all the way through. What if, you know, it's not the what you want to have happen. It's what if this happens, and what if this happens, and you have to plan for all these things. And I just don't see him planning for everything.
Well, when you say that, you know, when somebody says, this is the team I want, you know, that's Maury Wills. I can win a pennant with this kind of team, and sort of taking into account the talent and taking into account, you know, who else is on this team, who could help us, you know, we're going to win, you know, just like basic stuff, like who's our, you know, who, what are our options? He doesn't seem to like really, you know, the team's playing better than it did early in the season, but. And they did play okay, the guys who were there, but they didn't win, and that's not helped. And the expectations, Shogo Kimura, their utility infielder, told me the expectations this year, you know, they're choking on them, to be honest. He said, we're all expected to win the pennant this year, and there's a ton of pressure on us.
Yeah. Well, the good thing, there's still, I mean, I'm reaching for that switch to turn them off, but the one thing is, and even though they have these 62 losses, the Giants have 61 losses. Yakult has 59 and Hanshin has 58, so they're right there in terms of the loss.
Sure.
If they just win some games consistently, then they at the top. So I won't pull the plug, but I am I won't turn the switch off, but I am reaching for it, and I'm gonna.
Maybe next week John will have found the switch, but yeah, I think he has the. And I don't really know. I don't know the guy. I know I've been told he's not a fan of the media. He's suspicious of reporters. He's suspicious of this. He's like dogma guy. Yeah. I see him doing things that don't really make any sense unless, you know, you read the instruction manual to how to play Japanese baseball in Koshien.
Yeah. I just realized I didn't answer the question. So let me answer the question, Stuart. It's hard for me to see managers getting fired here in Japan. Mm. You have to really, really be bad. And they haven't been awful. They just haven't met expectations. And if he had stayed on the pace that they were on earlier in the season, I would say he would have quit by the All-Star break. He wouldn't have been fired. He would have done the, you know, I'm going to step down. I'm going to step back.
Take a leave of absence.
Leave of absence kind of situation. So, you know, it has improved to a certain extent in the second half. And, and I remember when we talked about the grades for the new skippers, I mentioned the fact that we don't know what kind of skipper Ogata is yet. And that, you know, this is his first year. It's his first gig as a manager. And I can't say throw him out because he's still developing in that aspect. And you know, it's his rookie year. You know, ultimately, I think that the Carp are going to make that same determination, and they're not going to fire him because they're not in last place. The guy who deserves to be fired is Kiyoshi Nakahata.
Mm. Hashtag high heat.
You're looking for an argument there. No, I think pretty much the same. I think, to be honest, I think they should fire him. I think they should say, look, who's the best manager available? Because this team needed to be. Now, he has improved. Some of his decisions are better than they were at the beginning of the season, noticeably. But that's like, I don't see it. And I don't see is him developing the talent base, you know, going to the minor leagues and trusting his minor leaguers and saying, I want to give you a shot, because the Hawks, the Carp minor league team is really good.
Well, yeah, they've got some good players down there.
Sure they do. And he's not using them. So it's okay. We'll just keep going with what's working. Well, he ain't working. What he's doing ain't working. So if I had a choice and it was my team, I would say I wouldn't have hired him in the first place. I would have taken the farm team manager if he would have taken the job and given it to him. Dave Okubo will be available.
He's got experience.
He does indeed.
All right. Thank you for that. Another reminder now, we are now just 6 episodes from our 200th Japan Baseball Weekly podcast. So please send in your favorite moments and send them via Twitter. And actually, I have a hashtag for it. It's hashtag JBW memories. So please send in your favorite memories or favorite episodes or favorite comments if you remember when they are. If you don't, just give me the topic that it was, and I can find it. So we'll do that. The show is going to be on October 19th. So
let me ask, if you put that in your Twitter, in your Twitter feed, does Barbara Streisand start singing?
Yeah, no. I thought you were sick. You're just trying to make me sick now. Although I really like Barbara Streisand, I didn't like that song.
And that's okay,
for,
you know,
for our over 40 crowd, because I don't think anybody under 30 knows what the heck we're talking about. Movies.
Yeah, fine.
Movies. I'll take movies since the 70s for. All right. Send your questions by email to YAKYUJOHN@gmail.com. Tweet us at #HighHeat @JBWPodcast. And you can also go to our Facebook page and leave us a comment there. Look for us on iTunes. Thanks a lot. Thanks for playing Hurt, Jim. We appreciate it and hope you feel
better. You're welcome.
All right. Talk to you next week. Enjoy your baseball. One World Sports is the exclusive home of the Yomiuri Giants in North America and features live coverage of all Giants home games. Please contact your local cable provider to find out how you can watch One World Sports.